This is the Lansing Fisher Body Historical Team. Today we're going to interview Joe Abraham. It is June 9th, 2006, and we are at the UAW Local 602 Frank Dreyer Greenhouse. First, we will introduce the team.
Cheryl McQuaid.
Jerry Smith.
And I am Doug Rademacher. Again, today we're interviewing Joe Abraham. Joe, please state your name and spell it for us.
Joe Abraham, A-B-R-A-H-A-M.
And your address?
234 Julian Avenue, Lansing, Michigan, 48917.
Joe, are you married?
Been married to my lovely wife, Susan, for going on 32 years.
Congratulations. Do you have children?
Yeah, I have two girls, Alicia and Sally.
Where were you born and raised?
I was born in Lansing, Michigan, in a nice little hospital of St. Lawrence, right here in West Saginaw Street. Went to Holy Cross School for 3 years, then went to St. Gerard's to finish up fourth through eighth, then went to Waverly. Graduated from Waverly and proceeded the rest of my life from there.
Well, my next question is, what is your education level? So where'd you go from high school?
Did a year and a half at LCC in the 70s. And then I got married in 74 and starting to work then.
What is LCC?
A Lansing Community College, right here in our great capital of our great state of Michigan.
Were you in the military?
No, never had the pleasure to do the military.
Joe, what did your parents do for a living?
In the beginning, my mother used to work out in Boeing out in Washington, and my father was stationed in the military up in the Aleutian Islands. And when they came back to Michigan, my mother worked for the state of Michigan at the Lewis Cass Building, and my father worked at Main Plant downtown Lansing.
What did you do before you hired into Fisher Body?
Oh, I had many jobs. From when I was a kid, working at the gas stations, working at Myers. Into my 20s, I was doing... I worked for the state of Michigan. And that was a real hard time in the 70s because we had a slight recession then. And everybody was getting laid off in 74 and 75. And went to Detroit for a year and a half and had a great pleasure of living down and working in Detroit at Mincken Metal, which is a scrap iron place, did non-precious metals, such as copper, nickel, aluminum. Worked there for a while and got to know Tiger Stadium pretty well. And came back to Lansing in 76. Yeah, in 76. And... worked for a few companies in Lansing, Brunette Chemical, made wood fillers, until I got my job at Fisher Body.
So explain, why did you hire into Fisher Body?
I think the two main reasons were the benefits and security, job security.
So there was a concern of job security in your old employment? Or?
Well, I've been getting laid off from the state of Michigan, getting laid off from all the rest of the jobs. And like I stated, my father worked there, and he always wanted me to go to General Motors. But it took me until I was 30 years old to get into General Motors.
Well, you just said your age when you hired in. Well, when did you hire into Fisher Body? What year?
Yeah, August 10th of 1981.
And you were 30 years old.
I was just had turned 30 in July.
How did you know they were hiring?
I believe someone told me, if not my wife, that there was a line at the employment at Fisher Body on Verlinden, and go stand in that line.
Now, did you live nearby, so your wife drove by or something?
Right, I believe that was the case, because I've always lived on the west side. And I can remember standing in the rain for hours, leaving, going home, my wife telling me to get back in that line, and I did, and that's when I met Hal White. Wasn't it Hal White that was our employment? I think it was the employment guy that would hire you upstairs in personnel.
Can you talk a little more about that day? How long was the line? Were there lots of people? And what was it like to finally get to the head of the line? And what did it look like behind you?
Well, there were a lot of people in front of me. There was a lot of people behind me. And it was raining. And all I can remember basically was when Hal, you go up, you sign the papers, and they tell you your physical date and when you're coming to work. And I had the option of coming in March, or I can't remember what month this was for standing in line, but I could hire in March or come back in August. And at the time, I was working at Brunette Chemicals, so I had to give my employer enough time to find someone else, and then I came back to work in August. And when I came back to work, it was a funny story because Hal, I believe his name is Hal White, I'm not sure on the last name, but anyway, he was saying that my former employer, Mr. Brunette, called in the employment center and saying that don't hire me, because I'm a good worker, you can find other people to do the job at the factory. And when I found this out, I went back to my old employer and I go, why would you want to, you know, you don't pay benefits, you don't pay the wages, why would you say that to someone like, you know? And he didn't have no explanation whatsoever. I thought that was pretty weird.
It sounds like you didn't want to lose your good work ethic.
It's got to be the reason.
It has to be.
Yeah.
What shift did you hire into, and which department? And would you describe what it was like? Now, you'd stood in line, and you got your interview, and I'm sure you had a physical. Now,
body shop.
Now you show up for work.
Body shop.
What'd they do?
Door department.
A big group of people? How'd you come in?
Boy, if I can remember right, you went into the cafeteria. They talked a little bit about safety. Watch for fork trucks. And then they just took you to your area. And my area was the door department down in Body Shop.
Had you ever seen an assembly line?
I've never been inside, actually. I've seen pictures and TV and stuff like that, but I've never actually. And I was real close to what they used to call the jungle. And my impression of a jungle is not what that jungle was like. It was a jungle. It was a jungle.
Can you give us sights and sounds?
What was
that feeling running through your body?
It was... Man, I'm glad I didn't have to work in there. It was a bunch of handheld body welders, pretty close together, that each man had to operate and put about, I'm saying, 12 spot welds, even more spot welds, while that car is traveling down with these monster welders.
How big is a monster?
A big monster welder would be, you're spreading your arms wider than your shoulders to grab this welding machine to precisely put it to where the weld is supposed to go on the body frame.
And you said you could see this, so what see, about your operation? What was that like? And did someone...
I can remember... loading doors onto this door jig, which was way over your head. You had to reach up and jump up and get the jig, which weighed. It was on pulleys, so you really didn't know how much it weighed. When you pulled it down, it was quite heavy. You loaded the doors on, you put your hinges on, front and back, and you slipped the whole jig onto the side of the car while it's going, fasten the bolts down, take the jig off, put it back into your area, reload it with empty doors, and you're right there again. Here comes another one.
Here comes another one. And what kind of weight did this door have?
Well, back in the day, they had not as heavy metal, but the metal was pretty heavy back then. It was, I don't believe it was the galvanized. Yeah, I think it was galvanized steel.
Any idea?
Back there.
Well, you've lifted some things. How much do you think?
It must have weighed, a door must have weighed at least, an empty door with no windows, nothing, must have weighed at least 40 pounds, I bet.
And how fast did you have to do one of these? How often?
I think back then they only ran 48 a minute, 48 an hour. I think so, about 48 an hour. So what's that, about a minute, a little bit more than a minute to put it on.
Okay. Now you said that hoist was, you had to jump for it. Now,
it was the
how
old,
tall were you? Weren't these designed
for 5'9". Well, I'm 5'9", and they weren't designed for, they weren't people, ergonomics wasn't invented back then. I don't believe ergonomics was around back then, because that's when a lot of safety issues came up. Bare metal, now we wear sleeves. Back then the protective wear was glasses, gloves, and shoes, which is still basically now in the body shop, but now they have protective arm sleeves, and there's warning tape along which areas that you're not supposed to be in. Back then they didn't. Well, I can remember during the tours, people bringing their kids and crossing the lines. Well, people would be crossing the lines, actually, while you're working. And that's a no-no now.
You said you were in the body shop.
Body shop.
And you were in street clothes, or what did you wear as far as your clothing?
No, body shop, I believe they gave you coveralls. Every day, you'd have to go to the coverall crib, get your assigned, you turn in an old pair of coveralls, get a new pair of coveralls, and that's what you would wear.
And
they would supply you with the lockers, the showers, the necessities that you would need to, clean yourself off after a hard day's work.
Exactly. So the shower means you were getting quite dirty?
Yeah, very dirty. Back then, the exhaust systems weren't as good as they are today. You could smell smoke. You could smell the burning welding rod. You could smell all sorts of good things down the body shop.
And can you describe your first day? Now, they took you to your job, and they just put you on it. Did somebody help you? And what was it like, and what did you think at the end of your first day?
You know, if I remember right, that man showed me like three jobs and he was gone. And I'm on my way. And you had to do it. You don't write nothing up. You didn't do a mistake back then, or they'd find somebody else to do your job for you. Gosh, it's really hard to think back then. Because, actually, I've only spent a year and a half in body shop. I spent most of my time in paint and trim. A lot of time in paint department.
You said you were married, and your father worked at General Motors across town.
Right.
I just was trying to get that feeling that you You'd worked in all these other establishments. Here you'd spent this day, you said you hauled this 40-pound door, you dressed the car, and you ran back and got another one. What was it like at the end of that first day, and what was going through your mind?
Well, I came home tired. I was working the day shift. Came home tired, and I don't think I seen 8 o'clock. Because I was asleep until 5:30 the next morning, I think. And I woke up, and... But it was all worth it when you got that paycheck. You know, all your pains, all your aches and pains went away when that first paycheck came. I can remember that. I think I still have my first paycheck stub, as a matter of fact.
What was your wife's feeling?
Oh, she was ecstatic because insurance. We didn't have kids at the time. Oh, no, excuse me. No, wait a minute. Our first daughter, we had to pay cash for her. We paid no insurance. She was born in 78. And our second daughter was born in 81, I believe. You'd have to figure that out. I'm not very good at birthdays. Well, anyway, and so she was very happy that we had insurance. And it just took a lot of relief, a lot of burden, a lot of stress, a lot of pocket cash out of the minds of a pregnant woman.
So what did you think of the auto assembly plant and the people? How many, you said, people around you? Did you get to talk to them? Did you come to like them? What was it like trying to build a relationship while working a car a minute?
Well, you do get to know the people next to you real close because that was all the people that you got to talk to if you got to talk on your job. There were some places in there you just couldn't talk to anybody. It was too loud or you're working by yourself or something. It was a different experience working with supervision, watching you so strictly, doing precise work and just that precise work and not using your mind whatsoever, just using your talent of coordination and your skills of motor skills. My impression of I've always been a GM lover of GM cars, and when I came in here, we were building the 98s and the 88s, which were really a fine looking car. I loved the 98s back then. They were the blue collar Cadillac, and everybody in Lansing that we knew were blue collar people, and I liked that. It was different to see just the body side. It's really weird right now going to this new plant and having to see the front or the body and a completed job all in one plant, because I've never seen that before at Fisher Body. We've just seen the body part, and that's what I've gotten used to, is just the body part, and I've gotten used to liking. When I go to auto dealers, I notice the body more, because that's what we deal with more, is the body, and that's what I look at more when I buy a car, actually.
Can you go in detail a little more about that? What do you mean you had just the body? What happened to it?
Well, this was Lansing was divided into two plants, the Verlinden body, Fisher body, and Oldsmobile down in Maine, and Olds Avenue was the only plant in North America to build one car at two different plants. Fisher Body would build the body, and Oldsmobile would supply the rest of the automobile. Windows, interior, motors, tranny. And Fisher Body used to do the interior, but they switched that over to main plant, and then the cushion room went over there. And to see a completed car in one plant will be very exciting.
Do you remember any of the people you hired in with? And do you still see any of them today?
Oh, I see quite a few people. Roy Page and... I see quite a few people that I've hired in with. Yeah, we've stayed in good contact with them. You do become brothers in this union. It's a good union. Lot nicer than some of the unions that I've been hearing other people say about theirs. We're a lot closer knit. Whether it be friendly, I don't know what it may be. I don't know what makes that click like that, but we are pretty friendly.
Well, you've talked about union. You brought that up on your own. Can you explain? When you hired in, did you meet a union rep, and was there a significance about joining a union?
Well, when I first hired in, I didn't know anything about a union. My father belonged to a union, but he never really discussed his work matters at home. And when I joined the union, I really didn't know too much about it. They didn't explain too much back then on the rights of a worker. They explained to you what representation you had to a certain extent. Back then, I think it was more your supervisor's word than anything else that would take precedent. Like if you had a quarrel with your supervisor, and you brought in a committee man, that story would probably be the supervisor's winnings, because back then the supervisor had the stay. You know, he had power. He had, I don't know what he had back then, but it wasn't right. And now, at least you get representation. Someone listens to both sides, and they come to a fair and just answer, which is which you need.
Okay.
A mediator.
I'm gonna drift back into the plant. You mm-hmm. had mentioned being in the body shop.
Right.
You said you were there a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Starting on that job, was there any new hire initiations that you could recall? Did people take advantage of you or play a prank on you?
Gosh, I can remember doing the A post on the body, which is the pillar that connects the roof to the door, and the A pillar, and you had to put a weld across this. And while I'm welding on here, I'm blowing a hole in each one of these cars, because the electricity is so high. I couldn't figure it out at the time, but every time I touched the rod to the metal, I'd blow a big hole in it. And I'm stacking up like 20 of these into the repair hole. Little did I know that these guys are cranking up the machine back behind me, laughing their asses off. They think it's funny because I didn't know any better. And I got in a little bit of trouble for that one because of all the repair work.
And a little bit of trouble. The supervisor came down.
And told me, don't do that again. Just don't blow any more holes in it. And I told him, I says, these guys, and he goes, don't do it again. Simple as that.
And did you ever get a chance to reciprocate and do a just act back to you?
No, I never got the chance. No, because I was not that smart. I was not that smart when I hired in here. Even though I was 30, these people knew what they were, these guys knew what they were doing.
And
no, actually, I never got to not down in the body shop. No, that down there was a whole different world down in body shop. My gosh, the supervision were different. They were like old timers. They were hardcore. They were old school. body shop was.
Well, I've still got you in the body shop. You've shared a typical day, and you said something about your workers became, did you say brothers? Were there sisters down there? Were there women in the body shop?
You know, when I hired in, I think all I can remember were a couple of older women ready to retire. I can't remember working with any... Boy, I can't remember working with any women in body shop whatsoever. No, I can't remember at all working with a woman in body shop.
Would you?
I can't remember seeing a woman down in body shop.
If you saw one, what was that atmosphere like?
Oh, well, back then, you had the posters on the wall, the pinups on the walls, and the guys were, you could smoke on the job, and you could, read your, a lot of guys in here read girly magazines for some odd reason, but they used to do that a lot, and you could see that a lot on the wall. There was everybody's locker had one, or it was just like the pinup girl, you know. You don't see that anymore.
But as far as a live woman coming through, was that
you said you never saw one? And if you did, I think they were all wrapped up in coveralls and hat and goggles and gloves, and so I don't think you could really tell if there was a woman or not, to tell you the truth.
Well, let's move you out of body shop. Where'd you go after the body shop?
Body shop. I went upstairs to the paint department. To the C-Line was my first, my first encounter with John Griffey's, was a supervisor in paint. And Ted Thalen, I believe, brought me into his office, and he reamed me. I can't remember what I did wrong, or if I even did anything wrong. And John Griffey's reamed me up and down the wall, and I looked over to Ted and I go, is that, we can speak that kind of language? I mean, foul language like that to each other? And he goes, oh yeah, John's, that's the way he talks. And I think that's where I started using this foul language that us factory workers are well noted for, because the supervisors used to use it constantly at you, all the time.
Now, you said something about, I think you said the C-Line. What is the C-Line? Can you explain
that? The C-Line was, we made two different cars, or three different cars back then, the 98s, the 88s, and the Cutlass line was on the C-Line. And that's what line I was on, the Cutlass line.
So different vehicles ran down different lines?
Yes. We had, back then, in 81, we had the 98s, the 88s, the Cutlass, and the station wagon came later with the, when did we build a station wagon? In 83 or 84, I can't remember if that's a Grand Am one or not. Okay. I'm not sure. I can't remember that.
Just was trying to get a description of the different. There's two assembly lines running.
Two different assembly lines running, basically the same operations on each line through each area, but formatted for that typical body style, which the 98s and 88s were bigger and longer, as opposed to the Cutlass, which were, you know, the mid-size range, which had a smaller body style. So the robots in the paint department were programmed a little bit more, which were just overhead sprayers. Back then it was enamel paint.
Can you explain, you did a year and a half in this body shop. how did you get to paint? Why did you go to paint? What was that all about? Didn't you like your door job?
Body shop was all right. I believe I got reduced out from seniority wise, and got low seniority was in paint department, and that's where I ended up from a reduction of force in the body shop.
Okay, and you had an environment. You said you could smell smoke and stuff in the body shop.
Right.
What was it like? What's the environment of the paint department? Can you give us a picture?
Oh, the when I hired in, well, when I first worked in the body in paint department, you had to wear coveralls, rubber boots, rubber gloves, mask, goggles, hat. This is for your own protection, not for anybody else's protection. And then you get to go inside the booth, which was an enclosure about 40 feet long. It might even be longer than that, because it would hold about 12 bodies, so it would have to be quite long. With rushing water underneath, you'd be stepping on a grated floor, a metal grated floor, with water rushing underneath to capture the overflow of paint, which was quite noisy and quite damp and quite different. I've never seen nothing like that. I thought it was pretty cool, though, because painting a car, I figured that's the way it should be done.
Okay.
But we sprayed enamel. We sprayed lacquer paint back then, which was a lot easier paint to clean off yourself. You could just brush it off your clothes, and it would just dust off, as opposed to the new clear coat, base coat that they're applying now.
And in the paint department, is it all business? Is there foolishness and shenanigans and pranks to be had up there?
There is people working side by side, 30 jobs long. So you would have 30 people on each side working at least 5 feet apart to doing their own separate jobs. So you got to party, not too much party. You didn't have enough time to party. Talking, getting to know each other, getting to know each other's families, stuff like that.
And has a single coworker impacted your life?
Has a single coworker impacted my life? Boy, that's a good question. I don't know. Gosh, I hate to sound conceited, but no, I don't think so, because I have a better work record than most of the people I know at work.
Anyone influence you towards your family life, your work ethic, your anything? No.
Being a I'm no brothers, three older sisters. Basically, on my own. Mother passed away when I was 16. Father was working all the time. Basically, I had to learn everything on my own. I didn't look up to too many other people. There was nobody else to look up to, actually, that, I would rather not look up to back then.
Okay, well, you had said, now body and paint, you're in these coveralls. What did you do for lunch?
Fisher Body had supplies of cafeteria, which pleases some people's palate. Or you could bring your own lunch in. Or you could conveniently go across the street to the two local taverns that we have conveniently located on Verlinden and Michigan Avenue. And or hopefully someone else will bring enough food in for some, for everybody, you know, and then we share.
So you're talking about dinners? I just was curious.
Dinners in the paint department were very, very few and far between because of the environment. You had to have a clean environment with paint. You're having the body, a bare body before paint department is very critical because you don't want any oils or smudges or, and they're well aware of that. Everybody's well aware of that. So you don't eat on, you try not to eat on the line and or touch the body with without gloves on or before it's painted. And so the parties in a paint department were no. Back then, they had solvents back then that were very, they did the job, but they did the job on you also. They weren't I don't believe they were that environmentally friendly. I don't know the names of them back then because I wasn't,
Do you remember one called Oleum?
Oleum, nice Oleum. Yes, he used to take paint off my boots very well. Yes, it have a strange smell to it. I thought fuel oil smelled weird, but Oleum smells. To describe that smell. I don't know what it is because I don't know what that smell is.
But it worked.
Yeah, it worked. Yes, it worked. Yeah, we don't see that anymore though.
Was there any protective equipment to use Oleum, or did people just kind of put their hands in it?
I can remember washing my hands with some sort of solvent and tasting it a few minutes later in my mouth from going into your system quite often. Yeah.
And was this common practice? Did you?
It was common practice because they didn't give you much time to clean up and wash up or, you know, and in the paint department, you get dirty. Now, a paint department consists of the sealer line, the sanding, clean off, you know, different areas in the paint department. I was basically in paint, in the paint booth. Utility, basically, is a different classification of job, which is sometimes rewarding and sometimes not rewarding. Utility used to make a little bit more money back then than the line worker because they had to go to different areas, do different jobs if no one, if someone was absent or had an emergency or some unknown reason that they couldn't be there, that utility person would fill in and do the job that was needed.
Also,
job.
Legitimate vacations, that was...
And legitimate vacations, right. You know, there are... Right, there are. Not everybody's a school off that works at Fisher Body or General Motors.
Up in those areas, did you have music? How'd you pass the time of day when you worked?
Painting part, or in the booth, no music whatsoever. You couldn't hear it anyway if you had it. On the sealer lines, they could have music. They did supply the electrical box, which was pretty nice of the company to do that if you really want to think about it, paying for the electricity for your enjoyment. But music, not too loud and not too disruptive to your neighbor. It was allowed. Reading got to be a problem for a while. And sometimes they cut that out, and sometimes it depended what department you were working in also.
Okay.
How lax they were on reading.
And this paint department, it also provided showers and lockers?
Yes, the paint department had the main locker rooms, which supplied you your lockers. And if you were lucky not to get into an aisle with painters, you could be almost paint-free for the day. But if you got into an aisle with a painter, you're pretty much going home with paint and spreading it onto the carpeting and onto your car floors and everywhere. Yeah. It was a different experience up there also. That was a good experience, so actually.
Common practice for a person in paint to wear their work boots out covered in paint?
I think right before I got out of the paint department and transferred to trim, or got reduced to trim also, they started mandatory cleaning boots. You couldn't walk in certain areas with boots. When I was working in there, they didn't have that. You could walk, you could go to the hospital with your boots on. And I think that's why they changed it, because it did make a mess. And there were some people that would, I've known some people that would just spray their boots with paint just to walk around in the supervisor's office or the cafeteria or something, just to spread, you know, his agony or the paint around. That's what his agony. Some people have attitudes when they go in there. I don't know why.
Well, you're doing real well because you've moved us on. You just mentioned a place called Trim. Can you talk about the Trim department?
Trim, I got reduced out of paint department, went to Trim. I was really surprised in Trim. The first time they said if you couldn't do your job, write it. Just take your ink pen and write it. Write it down that you couldn't do it. And that surprised me because up in paint department, if you have that much time to write it down, you had that much time to fix your problem. You didn't have, you know, no writing down, nothing. You did it. And also in body shop also. And when I came to Trim, it was a little bit more lax. People were wearing cutoffs or shorts and short sleeve shirts, and still couldn't wear sandals or anything, but they look more casual than anybody else in the plant. They seem to be more happier down there.
Well, you'd seen three different parts of the plant. What was your favorite part of the plant?
Oh, I enjoyed paint department myself. I got to know a lot of good people up there. Went to a couple people's weddings. It was almost the beginning of my career at General Motors, and I really liked the people up in paint department. We had a lot of tragedies up in paint department. It's really weird. I can remember three people tragically getting their lives taken from them while I was working in paint department. And ironically, after each one of these people deceased, I had to do their job the very next day. And it was a weird feeling to do that, especially after the third one. I really didn't want to do no more. And it was just a weird feeling. And it's coincidental that, you know, that... And we only employed... How many people were up in paint department? A few hundred. And have that many people that you know get, and it wasn't, their lives just didn't end because, their life was, it was either taken from them, basically all of them were taken from them.
Now, did you see anyone get hurt or killed in the plant?
No, I personally never, I've heard stories, but I've never personally seen anybody get, I'll take that back. There's one time I seen a girl who was in between an area that she wasn't supposed to be in, working up the line, and her leg got trapped into, between, body carriers. Because the back car, which wasn't she supposed to be in, slammed into the front one, and that's where she was standing, which wasn't she supposed to be there. But
now that's a body carrier, hit another body carrier. How much do those things weigh?
A body carrier weighs, boy, they weigh about 500 pounds. They're all metal. They're all metal. I don't know how much they weigh.
I would say at least.
At least 500 pounds. That would hurt.
And why would a person be working up the line? What's that all about?
Well, there are jobs. There are jobs that you're attached to umbilical cords, as I call them, and there are jobs that you are not attached to cords, which are sealer guns, air wrenches, things that you aren't attached to. And usually, and if you're good enough, which is also a bad statement also, because if you're good enough and if you can do your job fast enough, they usually will add more work to your job. But I don't know why anybody would want to work up the line, myself personally. I don't know why. But to get the extra 10 minutes for lunch or for break, or maybe she has a problem and they have to do something, or you know, whatever that may be. But yeah, that's what working up the line is.
What area was it that she was hurt in?
That was down in trim department. That was in trim, yeah, where everybody is more relaxed and not attached to hoses as much, per se, as to paint or body shop.
Now, you spoke about getting into trim, and I want to go into trim a little bit. What job did you do there, and you said the people were dressed differently. Did the music have a difference there? And the food, the dinners around the holidays, what was going on there?
Trim department, I started in, I believe my first job in trim was a doors, also on the doors off line. That was, now we're talking about the Grand Am line. Grand Am started in 84. I went down to trim, and I think in 89, somewhere around there, 88 or 89, maybe 90. And the Grand Am was there, and then they had a new concept of building the doors on their own separate line, which would reduce repair. Body repair on the doors, because they were getting a lot of scratches when the door was on the car going down the line. There was a lot of problems, I guess. So they built their own door line, and that's the first job I had in trim, was on the door line, taking doors off the car and putting them on its own jig, and that jig would send it to the door line, which would build the doors. And that was my job. The parties, a lot better parties down in trim, because the solvents were gone, the paint was gone, the fumes from the welding rods from body shop. You could actually eat food in the trim department and have it taste like food.
Did you ever participate in any these departmental dinners around the holidays?
Yeah, we had a lot of holiday dinners. Everyone would bring in their own specialty dishes that they would pass around and enjoy.
What was your specialty?
My specialty was baklava. Everybody knows it as baklava, but I'm Lebanese, and we call it baklava. And it's basically a pastry. It's a very rich pastry, which me and my wife make. Usually over the holidays, and so far everyone's liked them.
And you do one other dish I know you take great pride in. What's that?
Well, I do. I have a specialty. I can do grape leaves. It's called waradesh, and we have kusa, which is a stuffed squash, and kibasaniya. Oh gosh, that I love kibasaniya. It's like a Lebanese version of a very good meatloaf. And then kibbeh, but no one wants to talk about kibbeh because it's a very particular taste. It's a raw meat dish.
And that would be of what animal?
Of lamb. A very nice lamb meat would suffice very nicely.
It sounds like your mouth's watering.
A little bit of tabbouleh and some, baba ganoush. Let's go. Some hushwi and
some lemon.
I don't like lemon.
That's the one thing you don't.
I don't like that. It's a yogurt, actually. It's a Labanoots. I'm not a yogurt fan.
As we go there, there was implant vending. People brought foods in. You brought them in. Did anyone do that on a daily basis? Can you talk about?
Oh boy, did we have? Yes, there were some entrepreneurs that would make a little bit of cash on the side that would bring in their, whether it be your rolled up tacos or your sub sandwiches or your all variety of things they might bring in and sell for a couple bucks here and there to get you by, which was tasty. Different than your normal cafeteria food, which sometimes didn't. In the cafeteria, they went through a couple of different companies. Some were good, some were bad.
Okay. I want to know about supervisors. What made a good supervisor? What made a bad supervisor? And can you want to name one? You're more than welcome to.
Well, a good supervisor would be one that would listen. That would be very hard to find. A good supervisor, there's a lot of them actually in Fisher Body. Then there's a lot of bad ones. Nelson Thorne, I can think of one up in paint department. Very nice. He's a good supervisor. He was also started on the line, and then moved up to supervision. Another one I can think of is I sort of liked Randy Gingrich in material. That was in my later. I went to material. Randy was I liked Randy for some strange reason. He would listen to you. Sometimes his decisions weren't always to your likings, but usually were right. A couple of more were Ted Phelan up in paint. A lot of people thought he was like the little Hitler, but I got along with Ted pretty good. Joy Klink up in paint, she was very fair. Bill Marshall, these are paint. Bill Marshall was paint repair. Now, that's a long time ago. Then you had Jay Johnson and Richard Thompson and.
Sounds like you got quite a list of good supervisors.
There are good ones, but then you have the bad ones that you talk about the most. I think you don't usually talk about the good ones. I don't know why. You usually talk about the bad ones. Everybody talks about the bad ones, just like on the news. You don't hear anything good. You only hear about the bad. I guess that's what makes the news.
Well, you were able to move us on to another question.
Good deal.
You went into material.
Okay.
How did you leave trim? And
did a transfer to material. They were accepting transfers to material, so I applied and it got accepted, and I was material and trim department, utility. Actually, I was a material driver for trim, body, and paint. I had deliveries in each area. And got to know a lot of good people, like our vice president of our great union, Doug Rademacher here. Got to know him, and he's a very fine barbecuist? Barbecuer?
Oh, a little.
Barbecue master?
A little Cajun catering on the side, I
guess. I love that.
A little smoked Cajun.
Mm-hmm. And material is a real good opportunity to get to know the plant. I got to see more of the plant on material than I've ever got to see walking. I like material. It's a very critical job. It's a very stressful job because you got a lot of things to look for. You have people to look for. You have parts to deliver. You have safety is your number one concern. Because people are in a hurry they only have so much time for breaks or bathroom calls. And if there's an aisle way to get to that certain point, they're going to take it. And if you're driving, you just have to be aware of everyone and every in every surrounding. So you just have to be aware of it on material. But it's a good it's a good job.
Okay. What was one of your best memories of the Fisher Body Plant?
You know, that's a hard one. Looking over there and seeing it getting torn down, there were so many days that I looked forward to coming to work because of the people there were so fun. It was like your second home. Basically, almost like your first home because you were there more than you were at home, because when you go home, you go to sleep. And then you're asleep most of the time at home. But then you come to work and you're awake constantly at work, so you're more aware of it. And it's really hard to pinpoint one special thing there. I'd have to say my whole 25 years right there would be very special. It's given me everything I have, everything my kids have. You know, I can thank General Motors for it. One particular, I guess it'd be the day I got hired in. I guess it'd be the most important day of at General Motors for me.
That was a best memory. I wanted to get a few of your other emotions and feelings. What was your happiest, saddest, or funniest day? Can you think about some particular things that happened that triggered those emotions?
Oh, the happiest. Let me go back to that one. But I think the saddest part was when we had the tragic deaths in the paint booth when they were cleaning the paint sludge and the waste containers, and their toxic fumes took three workers and I believe a supervisor from our plant. And that was very tragic. That was really hard because also we had to go inside and work above where they, where all this took place. And it was weird. That was one of the saddest days I can remember. And also hearing bad news from, deaths of people. But that's normal. It just happens to be, you're in the plant when you hear it. But the happiest times, I think, were... settling a day and a half strike. That was pretty happy, knowing that our contract was being ratified. You going back to work again. I know it sounds a little corny, but that was pretty happy.
The funny. Did you ever see something funny?
You know, we used to have an old man in body shop called the Spider Man, and I've never ever seen this before. And people would just throw pop cans around, and the Spider Man would go collect them. It doesn't matter where they were. And these guys in body shop, so help me God, they climbed these beams and they screwed a pop can up to a beam 25 feet up in the air. And I'll be damned if this Spider Man, he's an old man, Spider Man, he got that can. And that was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. Why would someone want to do that? I don't know.
Well, those people that collected all those cans up were making a good penny rather than making those concessions.
That is true.
I've heard it said some people take their vacations on that.
There were some pop collectors and there were pop can collectors. That's a fact.
And were there pop machines, or was there
In the beginning, we had the old good old vending machines where the pop would dump out of the machine and then the cup would drop out. That was always fun. I love that one. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Or you'd get the... or the coffee machine that you'd get two cups and maybe just some hot water. That was a pretty good quarter's worth. And then they had, now we got sponsors like Coca-Cola and Pepsi, which I don't know who gets the residuals for, but we certainly don't. But it's nice. I don't know why we can't have a name brand person doing our cafeteria, you know, like a, I'm not going to say a Win Schuler's because that's a Jimmy Hoffa. Didn't he get? but anyway, we should have a nice. I heard the same people at this cafeteria or the old people here. Or at the new people here?
You're speaking of the canteen. Those are that's a union company. That's
is it?
Yeah. I see you're talking about a franchise, maybe.
Yeah, maybe or yeah, franchise. That would I think so. I think that would attribute more to happier people.
Okay.
You cut that out.
You reminded me of that, and I remember. Yeah, that cup.
Oh, is that funny?
Or no cup, and there he goes. Lansing was known as the capital of quality. Why do you think that was?
It was capital of quality. It still is capital of quality because the people in Lansing take great pride in building their cars. Look how long we were building the Grand Am since 1984 till when did we quit building them?
2005.
Yeah, 5505. You know, that's a long time. 21 years? That's a long time to build a car. And that was a very popular car. And everyone, and if you would go out of state and you see a Grand Am, you would almost go up to that car and say, hey, I built that car. You know, I'm part of that car. And they had pride in it. That's why we were number one.
Okay. You just mentioned that you look across and you pointed over your shoulder. You see the Fisher plant being torn down.
Right.
It changed names over the years from Fisher to BOC to LCA. What is it to you, and what will it always be in your memory?
It'll always be Fisher Body to me because I can remember when I was a kid coming past the front and they would have the a garden with the coach, with the Fisher Body coach, with flowers, done in flowers. And I'll never forget that. And it'll always be Fisher Body. Always be. Main plant was the, I can remember the Rocket 88 over the billboard over the Grand River with the Rocket, with the Rocket 88. They're the greatest engine ever built, I believe. And, and that's Main Plant, and this is Fisher Body. It's always been that, and I believe it always will be. It was started as the Durant Building, but as we know, that he went bankrupt and sold it to General Motors. And but yeah, it will always be Fisher Body, always be. And if we can get rocks and sell it like the Berlin Wall, you know how the Berlin Wall's got the rocks and the Fisher Body. Yeah, this part of history right here.
We're hoping to get those bricks for you. Let's go on to union activities.
Okay.
Did you attend union meetings, and how often?
I didn't attend very many union meetings. Why? I don't know why. I always thought my representation has been very good. I've heard good responses from union meetings. But I never attended one.
Never.
I don't. Well, I shouldn't say never. I've never attended one. I've attended meetings, but I've not attended. I've attended union meetings, but not very many. Not as much as I should have been, I think. I don't know why either. Because of the time, maybe? On a weekend? I'm not sure.
You loved your job. You were represented by your union. You felt you had good representation.
Mm-hmm.
And
support
so,
my union.
So those times with your family are precious. Has your union involvement changed over the years?
No. I'm more pro-union talking to people outside of the plant. When they say things about Toyota or some of the other factories that are going up in the United States, I have to bring up the fact that they haven't been here for 30 years. Wait until these people want to retire and there's no pension, there's no representation, there's no nothing for them. Then we're going to see them people hitting the front pages saying that they're going to be going bankrupt and everything else. But that time will be coming pretty soon, too, because, like I say, they haven't been in business but for 10 years. And so and General Motors has been in business for a long time, and they've been paying their pensions to their retirees, treating their retirees with the help of the locals, you know, because it's basically, you know, a joint effort there. And I outside of the plant, I'm pro-union very much. Pro-union.
Do you participate in any of the union activities?
I go to a lot of activities. I go to the picnics, but I don't volunteer for it. I participate in them. I go to them.
Are you familiar with any other things?
I've taken my daughters with the Santa's, the union, Santa, when Santa comes, and taken classes with labor...
Labor studies.
Thanks, Jerry. Got a certificate through MSU, which is a joint UAW-GM venture, which was a great opportunity for me. And that's where I really got to know our union. I wish we had that for every new member that we had. The things that I learned in those classes, I wish I knew within the first year I hired in here, because I didn't. No one explained those that thoroughly to us. It's very helpful now, but I don't need that help now. I needed that help a long time ago, that information. Well, I still need it now, but I only got just a little left. But, you know, new people would need that information, and it was very good information. Dealing with you and your union and your company.
Okay. And that's with Michigan State University. So it sounds like maybe your union involvement did change. And maybe even though you were promoting unions, it sounds like you've got a little more in your knowledge now to share with people.
I hope so. You know, at the factory, they don't let you use your brain too much because you're only a robot. As a matter of fact, GM will fix a robot more than they'll fix you. They would rather fix a robot because you're replaceable. A robot isn't.
Do you vote in the union?
Yes, I do. I did vote. Yeah, I was there, wasn't I? Yeah, I vote every time. I vote in every election. I vote.
And what about
local, state, and our union? Yes.
Good. What about the union political and social activities? Are you involved in any of that?
Well, I give to CAP. I usually endorse the people that our union endorses. I will usually vote for them. There are a couple of times that I had to go my own separate because of whether it be a relation or something like that, which I had to, just because of a family member. But, I usually vote what our union recommends.
I'm going to ask, what's your most appreciated bargain benefit?
Oh, gosh. The TAP program is awesome. I like the TAP program.
Okay.
I wish they'd include spouses, though.
TAP being?
Tuition assistance program. So if you wanted to... fulfill your life with more education, General Motors and UAW would give a percentage or they would give you some money towards your education.
Okay. Do you participate in any activities outside of the plant in your community?
Used to. I don't anymore. I'm getting too tired. I don't want to do that stuff anymore. You know, I used to volunteer. Actually, I was a I forget what you call these people. You go to a cult school and you're like a mentor to these little kids at school. And for
touring
hour, yeah, it was something like that. Till for hour after classes and you know, I can't really think of any right now, you guys.
Well, that's fine. And the last, have you run a business outside of the plant? Have you become an entrepreneur outside?
No. I figure I'm going to give my all to GM.
All right. Now, we've asked a lot of questions. Is there anything we've missed that we haven't touched on that you'd like to share?
Well, no, no, boy, you're just giving me this opportunity to express my views is pretty cool. No, that's about it.
Well, it's been, again, a pleasure for you to take the time and share your story with us. And a few years up the road when the auto industry has changed, we're out to the new Delta plant. This will be in the MSU library and for students to do research on. So
really?
Thank you very much for the interview.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Joe.
Oh, you're welcome.